Hey, this is Pastor Jeff Workmeister of Elevate Church, and welcome to our podcast. I want to thank you for listening today. I hope this inspires you, encourages you, and builds your faith. Enjoy the podcast.
103 for me. We're going to be kind of in a lot of different places in the Word today, but we're going to start off with Psalms 103. If you're taking notes, my message is called Halftime. Halftime. Let me ask this question. How many of you have played sports at one time or not? Raise your hand. Played sports, okay? How many of you would go, yeah, I played sports, but it wasn't really good playing sports, okay? A few of us, okay? Anybody that's ever played sports really understands the importance of halftime, okay? Halftime is not just a moment for them to bring out, you know, anybody ever seen in the NBA, there's this lady that rides this unicycle, this really, really tall one, and she takes plates and cups and like flips them up on her head. Anybody ever seen that before? We think, well, that's what halftime's for. Like halftime, you know, we think of the Super Bowl, we think of the halftime show, right? And we think that's what really matters about halftime, and that's really not what matters. Anybody that's ever played sports understands that it's important for both a player and the coach. And for me, I've been actually on both sides of this. As a player, you need halftime to what? To rest, right? You need a break. You need a moment to just rest. You need a moment to take a pause. You need a moment to get what I would call vital fluids into your body so that you can get ready for what? The next half, right? Because we're getting ready for the next half. As a coach, for a coach, it's a time to step back from the game, right? You're just so engaged in the game, play by play, minute by minute. So for a coach, it's such a great moment to step back and go, okay, what's really happening right now? What's really happening in this game? That coach gets the opportunity to make really critical adjustments. That coach gets the opportunity to take his team and to refocus his team or her team, to refocus them on what is about to happen in the second half. Because how many of you know and understand that it's not about who wins the first half of the game? It's truly about the second half, right? The first half is great and it's fun, but we all know the game is truly won in the second half of the game. And this is what I know about halftime. The teams that do the best at halftime are typically the teams that win the second half and they end up winning the game. And that's what's important, winning the second half and winning the game. How many of you watch the Super Bowl? Anybody watch it or just had it on in the background? Okay. How many of you did not want the Chiefs to win? Okay. I think it was like 99.9%. It was like, you know, it was like Andrew Coots in our church that wanted the Chiefs to win. I'm sure a lot of us at halftime thought, man, the 49ers, man, they feel good this year. They feels right. They're gonna win. But truth be told, it wasn't the 49ers that made the best halftime adjustments. It was who? It was the Chiefs that made the best halftime adjustments. And because they made the best adjustments at halftime, the Chiefs ended up winning the game. Now, here's what I know about life, okay? Is that the Lord is really good through the course of our life, the entirety of our life, at giving us halftimes. At giving us moments to go, all right, it's halftime. That was a season. That was a chapter of your life. That was a moment in your life. But now for the next season of your life, for the next chapter of your life, we're going to change some things up because I want you to win the game. Amen? That God wants you to win the game. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your spirit in the room here today. We thank you that you are alive. We thank you that your word is alive. And Lord, we ask that your word would come forth and produce a new life in us. Give us understanding, give us grace, give us joy, and help us to see the next seasons of our life correctly, to see the next moments of our life correctly. Lord, we worship you, we honor you, we thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can you get real loud for the worship team this morning? Come on. They were great. All right, point number one today is this. Halftime brings us to a place of gratefulness. Can I get an amen from anybody? Gratefulness, okay? When we have a moment to stop, when we have a moment to rest, when we have a moment to reflect, I know for me in my life, it's always been a moment that I realize that the things that I've been complaining most about are actually the things that God has called me and gifted me for. Oh, thank you, Samaya. Thank you. I appreciate that. Think about the things that you complain most about. Are typically the things when you are complaining about your kids, you're complaining about your spouse, you're complaining about your job, you're complaining about things, and God's going, no, I've actually anointed you, graced you for this moment in your life. And if you can take a step back and you can pause for a moment, you'll actually look at that situation entirely differently. You'll actually be thankful for that moment. You'll actually be thankful. Can I just say to all of you that have little kids, okay? Enjoy it. Enjoy it, right? Like, I know they make messes, okay? There's this picture. I was going through some old pictures the other day, and there's this picture of Ben and Luke, and they had dumped out 2 bags of Doritos on our kitchen floor, and they were just sitting there eating Doritos off of the kitchen floor. And now, how many of you know, at the moment, you're like, what are you doing, right? Like, I can't even, like, wrap my brain around this, that you're just eating Doritos off the floor. But how many of you know that, like, years later, you look at that picture, and you're like, oh, man, I miss those days. I actually miss those moments, right? So sometimes we need to take a moment to realize, hey, I'm actually grateful for this. Psalms 103, 1-5. It says, with my whole heart, my whole life, my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, the holy God. Yahweh, you are my soul celebration. I love how beautiful that says. Just a beautiful text right there. That the celebration of my soul is in the Lord. My soul comes alive in the Lord, okay? How could I ever forget the miraculous kindness, all that you've done for me? You've kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all that I've done. You've healed me inside and out of every disease. Amen. You've rescued me from hell. You've saved my life. Man, that's a big deal right there. That is a big deal right there. You've crowned me with love and mercy. You've satisfied my every desire with good things. You supercharged my life so I soar again like flying eagles in the sky. The New Living Translation says verse 2 this way. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget. Love that. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. The word of God is showing us in Psalms here, the Lord is trying to show us that there's something supernatural about being grateful. There's something supernatural about looking at life through not a negative perspective, but through a grateful perspective. I want to share a couple things with you on this. Number one is this. I want you to write this down. Gratitude protects our perspective. Gratitude protects our perspective. How many of you know that sometimes we got to change our perspective in life? We got to see things differently. Gratitude protects our perspective. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You either have a heart that is negative, or you either have a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving, and you are grateful. And how many of you know that from that place, every interaction that you have with people, it could be your spouse, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker, it could be your children, every interaction in your life is gonna flow either from a negative place or it's gonna flow from a place that I'm grateful and I'm thankful, right? It's gonna come from the place in your heart. I wrote this down. When I'm grateful for my spouse, and I understand that not everybody is married in here, and we're believing that you will be someday in the name of Jesus. We're standing in faith with you, okay? But when I'm grateful for my spouse, okay, when I'm thankful for her, this is how I see my spouse. I want to help, right? It's not a burden to help. It's actually a privilege to help my spouse. When I'm grateful for my spouse, I want to support. I want to be a support. I want to be a help. When I'm grateful for my spouse, I actually want to clean the bathroom, right? Like, I know how much that means to Jess, clean the bathroom. Anybody that's ever cleaned a bathroom before knows that it's not a fun job, right? When I'm grateful for my spouse, I actually want to go on a date with them. I want to be with them. I want to spend time with them. I don't, you know, it's not, you know, all the time with my girlfriends, all the time with my guys. I want to spend time when you're grateful. Now, when you're not grateful from your spouse, how many of you know that your spouse quickly becomes a burden? Right? You look at that person and you look at them through a negative point of view and they become a burden in your life. They become a source of pain. They become a source of frustration. And when you're not grateful for that spouse, you actually do what? You push them away. You don't want them around you, right? So when I'm grateful, it protects my perspective. When I'm grateful, it protects the way that I see everyone around me. Everybody that I come into contact with, I either see it through negativity or I see it through the grace of God. I see it through his love. All right, the second thing I want to show you is this. Gratitude refocuses us on what really matters. Gratitude refocuses our thoughts on what really matters. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says this. Now may the God of peace, how many of you are excited that you serve a God of peace? Not chaos, a God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. So the word says God the Father brought Jesus from the dead, from the depths of hell, because he took your spot. Amen? He took your spot in hell, right? He went to hell. He raised him up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. We were singing songs today about the blood of Jesus. We are so grateful. We're so thankful for the blood of Jesus. It's what cleanses us. It's what makes us right. It gives us right standing with God when we don't deserve it, right? So the word says that Jesus is raised. His blood is a covenant. And verse 21, because of all of this, may he equip you with all you need to do what? His will. Not your will, but his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. There's somewhere amazing where we are grateful for Jesus. And this is so, I think it's such a challenge, especially in the American church where we don't have persecution, right? If you were to talk to somebody that is in the underground church in China today, if they were grateful to be a part of a church or have even sometimes pages of a Bible, they would sometimes weep. They would be so full of joy, right? Because there's something alive in them. When you have this place where you are grateful for what God has done. You're grateful for his love. You're grateful for his mercy. You're grateful for his kindness. The Bible actually says that the Lord, not you, but the Lord will produce in us his will for our life. When you're thankful, when you wake up each day and go, God, I am so thankful I'm alive. Can I just say that that's incredible that you're alive? That you have breath in your lungs, that you go wake up every morning and go, God, I'm alive. Lord, I love you. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for what you've done. And because of what you've done, what will God do? He will actually produce in you his will, his plans for your life. Amen? You'll start thinking the way God thinks. You'll start seeing your future, your family, your job, people around you. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing things not through what? A human perspective. Right? We don't need to think more like the world. We don't need to think more like culture. We don't need to think more like the things we see around us, right? We need to think more like how God thinks and how he sees, and he'll produce these things in us. The third thing I want to show you about gratitude is this. Gratitude will change the way you see your future. Gratitude will actually change the way you see your future. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphant procession. Psalms 136, verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Romans 8, 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love, who are loved by God and called according to his purposes for them. So here's how it protects the way that I see my future. When I'm grateful for my future, it's coming from a place that I know that God is in my future. I don't see my future void of him. I actually see my future with him, and in him, he's leading it. He's working all things together, just like the word showed us here, with his love. For whose benefit? For your benefit. Right? So I see my future through a heavenly perspective. I don't see my future as, I don't know what the future is. Who knows? Right? I mean, think about how many conversations you've had recently about, man, it's an election year, right? You know? Who knows what's going to happen? What might happen in the next, you know, months to come before this election? I don't look at it that way. I look at the future through what? Vision, through hope, through love, through joy, knowing what? That God is in my future. He's already declared in his word that my future isn't for destruction. Can I get an amen from anybody? Your future isn't for destruction. He said, I came to give you a hope in a future with me as long as we stay grateful. Lord, I'm grateful. Grateful. Point number two today is this. Halftime will refresh your soul. Halftime will refresh your soul. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6, it said this. When they arrived, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the same way you see them. People judge by an outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Verse 10, in the same way, all of seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. Samuel's looking to anoint the next king of Israel. And so Samuel, you know, keeps looking at each one of Jesse's sons, one by one by one. Gets through all of them. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel asked, are these all the sons that you have? The response is, they're still a youngest, Jesse replied. He's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goat. Can I just say to you that sometimes you may feel like you're in a season with sheep and goats? No, thanks. Right? That you might be in a season of your life where you're like, all I see around me are a bunch of sheep and a bunch of goats. And all I feel right now in this season of my life is that I'm just out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody sees me. Nobody even knows what I'm doing. Nobody even cares about what I'm doing right now. Anybody relate to me right now? You feel like you've been in a season like that? Hold on. Can I just say to you, hold on. God sees you. God knows what you're doing. God hasn't forgotten about you. Samuel said, send for him at once. So Jesse sent for him. When he arrived, this is what the Bible says. He was dark, handsome, and beautiful eyes. Man, David had it all, didn't he, right? Dark, handsome, beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. This is the one. Not the tallest, not the strongest, not the oldest. Out of all of them, the youngest. He's the one, right? So David stood there with his brother. Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And I love this part right here. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that moment on. Did you see the text? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that moment on. Sometimes when God brings a halftime in your life, it's his opportunity to pour out his Spirit on you. David was anointed king. Why? Because God didn't see him as a shepherd boy. Sometimes we see ourselves not as how God sees us. And can I just say to some of you, like, there's a lot of people that we think, oh, they're so confident. They know who they are. I promise you, sometimes the most confident people are the ones that really don't understand who they are at all. But the oil of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, came to anoint David as king. Why? So that it would help him and help us understand who we are in what? The new season. Why? Because who you were in the first half is gonna have to be different in the second half, right? We said this at the beginning of today. The game isn't won in the first half. The game's won actually in the second half. And so sometimes halftime comes and the Lord comes and he has to pour out oil. He's got to pour out his fresh spirit. He's got to pour it out on you to do what? To strengthen you so that you can see who you are, not in that last season, but in the next season. Because it's not about David. It's not about his strength. Did you see the text? It said the Spirit of the Lord, his spirit, his power, his grace, his ability came upon David and empowered him to do something he couldn't do before. Before, he was just a shepherd boy. But when the Spirit came on him, when the oil came on him, it empowered him now to be what? A great king. We see the same thing in the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. After his baptism, speaking of baptism, we got baptism coming up. It's a powerful moment, powerful opportunity for you to go from death to life, to make your public, you know, declaration, I serve Jesus and him alone. I want to be buried with Christ and come back to life in him. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens open, and he saw the Spirit of God. Remember the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and sitting on him. A voice from heaven said, this is my dearly beloved son who brings me great joy. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it'll anoint you to do more, but it will also do what? It will encourage you. It'll encourage you. It'll speak to you about the future. It'll speak to you about where you're going when the Spirit, the oil comes upon you. Point number three is this. Halftime will bring the right adjustments. Joshua 6, verse 2, it said, but the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho, its king, and all of its strong warriors. Now, how many of you know that you can hear this two ways? You could hear this from a sense of like, wow, that's really cool. God, you've given us the city. You've given us the king. You've given us all the strong warriors. Or how many of you know that there's people that would hear that and think, wait, God, you've chosen us? We're not strong enough. They have a bunch of mighty warriors. Are you sure, God, that you've chosen us? It's how you see things sometimes, right? Verse 3, it says, you, your fighting men, should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark carrying the ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. I want you to see something really clear here. God is actually adjusting their thinking as it relates to how they are going to fight this battle. See, when we think of battle, we think of war. And we think, yeah, you need to get your armor and you need to get the shield and you need to get that sword. And we need to what? We need to gather together and we need to bond together. You know, how many of you have ever seen, you know, a movie like Gladiator or, you know, 300? And, you know, and it's like, you're like, we need to bond together. We need to come together and we're going to do what? We're going to charge. We're going to charge at our enemy. We're going to charge at these walls. We're going to go in with our what? Our strength, our ability. And the Lord goes, no, I need to readjust the way you see this. Because the battle, he's telling them, the battle is actually not going to be won in your own strength. It's not going to be won in your ability. It's not going to be won in what you have. It's actually going to be won in what? Your faith. And I don't know for you, but I know for me that operating in faith is a whole lot harder than operating in my own strength. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith, this thing faith we're talking about, brings our hope into reality, becomes our foundation. We are singing today about Jesus being our foundation. It all starts right there. That our faith is in Jesus. Our future is in Jesus. Needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all of the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Because that's what faith is. We're believing for things that we can't see. We can't touch. We don't have. And so the Lord says to them, he goes, hey, I need to readjust the way that you see this battle. You're not going to win this battle in your strength. You're not going to win this battle in your own ability. You're not going to win this battle in your own wisdom. You're not going to win this battle, you know, in fixing everything. You're going to win this battle actually when you put faith in me. And the Lord calls them to do something crazy. He goes, I just want you to walk around and worship me. And then on the last day, I want you to shout. Now, I'm no military genius. I don't claim to, you know, have a deep, you know, reservoir of history and military battle or anything like that. But I can promise you, I've never heard a military expert go, well, you know, we're going to go into Fallujah and we're going to bring some tambourines and some horns. And we're going to march around the city and we're gonna, you know, blow some horns and we're gonna shout and we're gonna win a victory. You know, like, that's just, you'd be like, okay, cool, I guess. See, to actually win the second half, the Lord's gonna go, hey, I'm gonna need you to do some things differently. I'm gonna need you to see some things differently. And how many of you know that that's okay? That's all right. Because the Lord goes, if you'll just trust me in faith, I'll actually give you a great victory. Listen, did you hear the beginning? Verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho. He didn't tell him, hey, I'm gonna see if we win this or not. He said, no, I've given this to you and the king and all the mighty warriors. I want you to know ahead of time that as you trust in faith, I've already made a way. I've already made a way where it seems like there's no way. I've already made provision for you. I've already made a way for you. Listen, I believe that most of us think if I just work hard enough, if I plan right, if I make all the right moves, then my life will be okay. And most of the time, it's what we're saying is it's really about all about me. It's really all about what I can do, what I can produce. And the Lord goes, no, let's make an adjustment here. Let's just make an adjustment. I love this verse in James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, but he continually pours out more and more grace upon us. God resists you when you're proud, but continually pours out grace when we're humble. The greatest adjustments that we can ever make in our life is when we just humble ourselves to the Lord and go, God, I can't do this. You got to help me do this. God, I don't have enough strength. God, I don't have enough wisdom. God, I don't have enough foresight. God, I can't see the next season clearly, but you do see the next season clearly. And so if you want us to march around the city, we'll march around the city. If you want us to blow the ram's horn, we'll blow the ram's horn. God, if you want us to shout, we'll shout. But God, I just humble myself to you, knowing that you are so good and that you can bring the victory. And that's the best halftime adjustment you, I, anyone could ever make in your life is when you say, God, I just want what you want. God, I need what you need. God, I want to go into this next season with the victory because you bring the victory, not because of my strength, not because of my ability, not because what I can do, but what you can do. Amen? Why don't you stand up this morning? Can we just raise our hands around the room? All that is just simply saying, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. Lord, you are good. Come on, tell the Lord how good he is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, in your own words, can you just tell the Lord how you need him, how you need his help, how you need his thoughts? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word that promises us more and more grace when we look to you, when we turn to you, when we put our eyes on you. We thank you, God, for more and more grace, more strength, more life, more joy, more wisdom, more clarity, more insight, more. More, more, more as we look to you, Lord. Jesus, we worship you.